Aleph Kislev Veshchodesh Kislev, Monday the 4th of November, Rabbi Yonason Hughes, Yovon and Yisrael, a match made in heaven.
Morning. This could very well be my swan song as I swan off to Richmond in 3 weeks. So in the immediate future, I wish you l'chaim l'shalom. Shloshim Yom Kodim L'chag, we're in Tekufas Chanukah. We're there, basking in its radiance already. We can be feeling those vibes already. And if we've forgotten about the spirit of the Olympics in London 2012, it's our chance to reconnect with the spirit of the Yevonim, the Olympians, and they're all around. And how much of their culture still outlives them and still influences us today, we'll have to see. And maybe I'm being a little bit too pessimistic, which reminds me of my cousin, who is a self-confessed pessimist, who said that if there were Olympic Games for pessimism, he probably wouldn't fancy his chances. So the purpose of the shiur then is to resensitize ourselves to the ikrim of Chanukah, and the nakuda I want to be omed on is the relationship between Yovan and Yisrael, and what we can learn from that relationship that applies to our lives today. In Megillas Antiochus, there's a yesoid waiting for us to uncover. The text there reads that the whole of the Jewish people was seen as anathema to the Greeks, and the problem was they wouldn't bow down to the gods of the Greeks, they wouldn't be subservient to the governance of the Greeks, and the Greeks say one special line, Ato boyu v'nale aleihem, now let's come and place ourselves on the Yidden. U'nevatl mehem ha'bris asher koreis lohem, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Milah. Let's get rid of three specific mitzvahs from them, Bris Milah, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. You see, this is not a campaign to wipe out the Jews physically. As the Bach says in Ohr HaChaim, all the other goliaths of the Yidden, the threat was physical. Paras u'Modai wanted to wipe us out, Bavel wanted to wipe us out, Edoim wanted to wipe us from the face of the earth. But the Yevonim, the Greeks, they say, Ato boyu v'nala aleihem, let's keep them here, but let's import our culture onto them. Let's get rid of the soul of the Jew. But the body, the goof of the Jew can stay. That's fine. And we see also in the Gemara, we all know this Gemara. When they found the shemen in the base of Mikdash, they didn't pour it down the drain. They just wanted to defile it. It's okay to have it physically there, just like the Jew. It's fine for him to exist. But for him to have any spiritual power on this world, let's get that away from him. This is a cultural, spiritual onslaught, not a physical one. And in fact, the oir was still by the Yidden with the other goliaths. What do I mean by that? When the Mitzrim took Jewish babies and put them in the mortar in the walls of Egypt, the Yidden said, Baruch Hashem, I'm not an Egyptian. Similarly, when Nebuchadnezzar did unspeakable cruelty and exhibited total hedonism, the Yid was not tempted to become a Miss Bavlim. Only with the Greeks do we find that they appealed to something in the Jew. We wanted to be like them. Miss Yavnim came only in that time. When Hitler was in his halls of beating the Jews in the camps, no Jew said, oh, I wish I was one of them. We still had the oyer, the clarity of who we were. We were proud of being a Yid. Only in this tekufa of the Yevonim, something is tempting us to leave who we are. I'd like to explore that. Bereshis bara Elokim, Eisa Shemayim ve'Eisa Oretz, Va'oretz hoyos hasoyu v'voy v'choshech al panei sahoy, the Midrash famously says, V'choshech, what's the choshech of Bereshis? Zeh golas Yovan. There's a darkness there, and I want to uncover the darkness with you. But it doesn't seem apparent that it had to be this way. If we trace back the spiritual roots, the ruchniyistika DNA of Yovan, we first find it after the Mabel, when Shem and Yofes take a partnership role in covering up their father. As the Pasuk says, V'yosimu al Shechem shneyem v'yeichu achoreanais v'yichasu es erbas aviyem. They get together, Shem v'Yofes, and Shem, of course, is the progenitor of Semites, Shem, Semites, that's us, the neshama of the world. And the Greeks are Yophis, from Yofi, from beauty. But they take a partnership role, they cover their father, Kibudav, and Sneas are achieved by both of them together. They both take this garment and they cover their father with it. So it looks as though that there can be a great partnership between Yovan and Yisrael. Also, what's the symbol of the of Judaism? What's one of the primary symbols of our nation? Magen David. Anyone else going to hazard a guess? The menorah. What's the symbol of the Greeks? Ever had a nice salad? Greek salad. What's in the Greek salad? Feta cheese, but also olives. The zayis is the symbol of the ancient Greeks. What comes from the zayis? Shemen. What do you put in menorah? Shemen. So if you have shemen on its own, it's a liquid, it's going to ferment, it's going to go all over the place, it's going to spill. It's not contained, but if you harness the shemen in the menorah with the discipline of Yiddishkeit, you can have shem and yofes working together. The shemen goes into the menorah, and that's the only way you have oyer. So this didn't have to turn out this way. There could have been some sort of shutfus between Yovan and Yisrael. In fact, I was just thinking, this is just random thinking, but shemen is actually made up of Shem and Nun. Shem is us, Nun is Bina. It's the Nun Shari Bina. So you can have Chochma and Shem, that's Shemen. So there could have been a real partnership here. The Greeks appealed to Jewish sensibilities in two ways. One, they were Balei Chochma, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, which is a pursuit of the Jewish people. We're also Mavakesh Chochma. And also in the aspect of Yofi, that's also a Jewish value. We know that Yosef was famous for this. Rashi says, "Behunar shehoya oisamai senarus masakein besaroi mamashmish beinov." He used to comb his hair, get some gel, style it nicely. He used to make his eyes look beautiful, kadeshia nira yofa, so that he would seem good. He was only criticized because at that time it was inappropriate to do that. But the fact is, we also like building beautiful bate midrashim such as this. We also have an appreciation for beauty, a refined sense of beauty. In these two ways, in Chochma and in Yoifi, the Greeks appeal to the Yidden. Even in Halacha we see this. There's one language you can write a Sefer Torah in, other than Lashon HaKodesh, and that is Greek. Rashi says it's a Lashon Tzach. Rebbe said that one of the only other languages you can speak in Eretz Yisrael apart from Lashon HaKodesh is Greek. You can have a Sefer Torah which is totally in Lashon HaKodesh. One letter is distorted, the whole thing is possible. But you could have a whole Sefer Torah in Lashon Yevani, could be in with Greek letters, and that's totally Mahadrin Men a Mahadrin Kosher. How's that for partnership? So it seems as though there's a commonality here. There's a shufus. There's something special about the Yevanim that could have been imported into the Jewish thinking in some way. But it went terribly wrong. We're going to have to see how that came soon. The Rambam writes in Mor Nebuchim that Aristotle, famous Greek philosopher, was one step, one madriga short of Nevuah. He was almost there. That's how much of a Chochem he was. And not only just in Chochmah, but we look around in today's world. If you get knocked over and an ambulance come, that is a Greek point. That is a Greek chiddush. Democracy was a Greek idea. Derech Eretz. You go into a non-Jewish school, you'll find great Derech Eretz there, some of them. It's Greek. Criminal justice system are all Greek notions. So there is no other partner in building a brave new world than Yovan for the Jewish nation. Yovan would not take you to a pub on a pub crawl. Yovan would take you to a theatre. He would take you to the museum. Cultured. Refined. And in that way, they appeal to Klal Yisrael more than any other nation. And that's why you have this concept of Misyavnim. But there's an empty shell there, gentlemen. Rabbosai. Brothers. There's an empty shell there. Talmud Yerushalmi in Chagiga tells us that the Greeks made us write the following sentence. Kisvu lochem al keren ashor. Write for yourselves on the horn of an ox. Ein lochem chelik b'elikei Yisrael. You do not have a portion in the God of Israel. I always wondered and fascinated by this concept. They made the Yidden write on the horn of an ox that they don't have any portion in the God of Israel. What does that mean? Why on the horn of an ox? So I heard one chat that in ancient times, one of the ways that they would feed their babies would be pouring the pre-squeezed milk through the top of the horn, and they would put a bit of leather at the bottom, and the baby would suck on the horn and he would get his milk. In other words, the concept was, in the baby's milk, from the mother's milk, you have to have apikoresis. The Greeks wanted to impose their culture from the very beginning. So symbolically, when a Yiddish kind is having its first ingestion in the world of bringing the milk into itself, on the keren, on the horn, it's written, Lochem, Ein Lochem Chelik Belike Yisrael, in the mother's milk, apikoresis. There was a story about Aristotle. This really opens up where we're heading, where his Talmidim were surrounding him, and he was eating like a beast, having his way in several hedonistic pleasures, acting like an animal, total behemoth. And he told his Talmidim famously, "Don't ask a stira. Right now, I'm not Aristotle." And the Nakuda I wanted to bring out is that doesn't exist in Yiddishkeit. Halacha and mitzvahs, which are keneged, the Eivorim and the Gidin, they follow you wherever you go. When you leave a base medrash, there's a way of acting in the bathroom. There's a way of tying your shoelaces. And the Greek concept that you could separate chokhmah from morality, from ethics, from menschlichkeit, is that is the Nakuda which separates us from the Greeks. They could separate chokhmah from self-perfection. And that really comes from one Nakuda, which is the origins of the universe. The Greeks did not deny a Boyri Olam. They said, yeah, there was a God who created the world. But the world, there is a God, a governor in heaven, but he did not create the world ex nihilo. He didn't create something from nothing. We only have that concept in Bereishis, in our Torah. What does that mean? That any chokhmah that we have predates God. That the material world is somehow eternal means that any chokhmah or skills that I have also precede God. Therefore, chokhmah is not a matnas chinam. It's not just a gift, gratis. But it's something which I have inside me. It's like a burning coal. Just fan it a bit and the flame will ignite. And therefore, my chokhmah is not subservient to Hashem. Whereas we say the opposite. We are merely microphones for God's wisdom. We are not self-generating engines of chokhmah. That chokhmah is atol choynei na'adam das means that we are given the privilege to be a microphone that Hashem speaks through. And that is exactly where we part company with the Greeks. If you look at Greek culture, as I said before, they were big Olympians into sport. Let's look at football, something I know a little bit about. Football match, you have 11 players on each side, and you have a football. What is the value of the football? Nothing. Take away the football, you have no game. But if you looked at the football in isolation, you just have empty, void nothingness. Meaning that the whole essence of Greek sport, and all sport, perhaps, is that the whole purpose of the apparatus of the game is to reflect on the importance of the players. Meaning, nothing should distract you from the gaiva and from the ability of the athletes themselves. And that's why in the ancient Olympics there were no cash prizes for gold, silver or bronze. That would take away the lishmokait from the sport. Everything is lishmo. And therefore, that the only way to be to display and demonstrate this dormant greatness of mankind is for everything to be arranged to show off our brilliance. And that's why in the whole of the Greek Empire, it wasn't so much about plundering and conquering and destroying other nations. It was just a display of grandeur. Everything was lishmo to bring out the greatness of man, because he is to be celebrated. And in fact, there's a more disturbing aspect of Greek culture, which is pederastia, which was the relations between same gender amongst the Greeks, which was very, very common. in their society, especially with a teenage boy. Why? How does that fit into the Greek culture that we've just been describing? Because relationships of that nature are totally lishma. There is no family, there is no children coming out of this relationship. It's totally for its own sake. It's total gashmias for its own sake. And that lishmokite of gashmias, the Greeks were experts in. And that's why we see these patterns recurring again and again in the world of sport and in the world of relationships. This is what they're all about. But this hoid, this fake hoid of Greece, is disastrous. And it's totally opposite to how we think. When we have a spiritual achievement in life, it's because we worked hard at it and Hashem gave us a gift. For the Greek, it's all down to his athletic ability, his brain, 95% of which is acquired at birth, through no effort of your own. So this whole dynamic now becomes the place where we part company. I was always fascinated by the word university. What does it mean? Well, something to do with universe, with the universal. And what the Greeks wanted to do to Klal Yisrael is to show them that there is no such thing as Asher Bocha Rabbonu Mikol Amim, V'Nosan Lanu Es Toirosai. That the Torah can be made and downgraded into an academic subject just like physics, maths or chemistry. No offense to maths. Meaning, university is the idea that every source of knowledge is on the same level. And I can look with a dispassionate equanimity at all of these disciplines and subjects. Maths, chemistry, Jewish studies. That is the Torah. There's no Asher Bocha Bono, there's no chosen nation. There's no Nosan Lanu Es Toirosai, that this source of wisdom is somehow from a higher place. The concept of university, which is a Greek concept, is that every level of knowledge, every subject can be downgraded into something which is common for all. And that is the notion of enlightenment, or endarkenment, as the Midrash says. Choyshech zeh golas yavon, this is endarkenment. So if you have a group of people saying that a Yom Tov should be downgraded into social action, or that you take the soul out of Yiddishkeit and make it just a nice thing, being a nice guy. He's a great Jew. Why? He's a nice guy. He smiles nicely. That's Yavon. To take the Neshama, to take the Hashem out of our Yiddishkeit, that is all Yavon. Why did they want to get rid of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh and Bris Milah? The answer is simple. Because all of these three mitzvahs stress the Jewish relationship to the world in three worlds, in three ways of sanctification. Sanctification of creation is Shabbos. Sanctification of time is today Rosh Chodesh. And Bris Milah is the sanctification of the body. Let's get the sanctity, let's get the Kedusha out of the Jew. He can survive, he can live, it's fine, have a Klal Yisrael. But they're no better than anyone else. Their Torah is the same as a physics textbook. Next time you drop a physics textbook, get up and kiss it. It's the same. Everything is the same. Let's take the Yiddishkeit out of the Yid. The Christians said, Onu Yisrael. We are the Jewish people now. There's a New Testament, a new Bris, that we are now inheritors of. The Greeks were slightly different. For the Greek, he says, not just Onu Yisrael, Kulanu Yisrael. There is no Yisrael which is distinct from the Goyim. Everyone is as chosen as each other. Again, this idea of universalism or university, which everyone is the same. There is no chosen nation. And that's why when I hear people saying that the Jewish people are the people of the book, I faint. This is exactly what Yavin wanted to achieve. We're not the people of the book. We're the people of the Torah. We're the people of the mitzvahs. It's exactly what they wanted to take out of our lives. There was a story I heard about a young bocher who at that time was not from, and he was enrolled in one of the premier academic programs on the world stage, studying philosophy in one of the top universities in America. And he used to get on the train every day and commute to the university, and he was carrying his Homer, his Shakespeare, his Socrates, and across the carriage from him was another bocher holding a chumash. And they would get on the same tray every day, and we would watch this boy as he would look at his chumash as he was reading the Iliad, and he noticed the fundamental difference between them. Whereas he was looking at sources of information, of educational sources, from a distance, casually, dispassionately observing them. This sounds good. That's an interesting phrase. I'll look at that theory. Didn't become part of him at all. He saw when this Jew on the other side of the train was shockling away, reading his Chumash, he could see that that Chumash was not just an academic subject he was just reading for entertainment or in order to get a smicha in whatever subject it is, but it was, he was becoming part of him. Just as much, he was holding the Torah, but the Torah was holding him. He was getting imbibed into his veins. He was changing because of what he was learning. And when he saw the power of Yiddishkeit, of true Torah study, where what you learn is what you are, what you learn is what you become, he became a Baal Tshuva and became ultimately a grosser Talmud Chacham, living in Yerushalayim. And that was exactly the difference that divided the Greeks and the Jews then, and it still divides us today. If you look at the word Yovan, you find some interesting things. Yud, Vav, Nun. First of all, the difference between us and them, as I've said, is our morality. We don't separate the Chochmah from spiritual greatness, from how we act, how we behave. What's the word for Yerushalayim? Another word for Yerushalayim, which we say? What? Tzion. Tzion is the same word as Yovan, Yud, Vav, Nun, but the point is, what's at the beginning of the word? What's our priority in life? What's the most important thing? Tzaddik. Then you can have your Yud, Vav, Nun, beauty, you can have Chochmah, but if it's not predicated by the Tzaddik, it's nothing. Tzion is fundamentally distinct from Yovan. And I was also saying another thing when I'm being presented with a new menorah. They're saying goodbye to me at Raleigh Close, having a big suda there next Shabbos lunch. Chief Rabbi speaking. And they're presenting me with a menorah. They asked me what I'd like as a parting gift. And I said a menorah. You know why? Because last year we were broken into in the night in our house where our family were sleeping. Which is a chiddush, considering how our kids behave during the night. And they came in, Baba Machteres, they come in the middle of the night, and they took a few things, including my menorah. And I was quite downhearted about this, and I said to my wife, oh, they took the silver menorah. She said, yes, they took the physical menorah, but they could never take away the way you lit that menorah for the 10 years that you had it. They can never take away the Yiddishkeit from that menorah. Take its physicality away. So I'm getting a new one this week. If you look at the way we light the menorah, according to Beis Hillel, we don't start with 8 and reduce the number every night like Beis Shammai say. Beis Hillel said we light one light the first night and we go up. What's the principle? Ma'alim b'koyish v'lo meridin. We go up in Kedusha and not down. But if you look at the DNA and the aleph base of the word Yovan, it's the exact opposite. Yud, Vav is lower down, Nun is even further down. If you look at the bottom of the letters, Meiridin. The essence of the Yid is to go in the opposite direction of the Greek. But it's all around us. We don't realize how much a part of the fabric of society Greek culture has become. And we're living amongst all of that, swimming against the tide. And therefore, when we assess this Chanukah, exactly where we're holding, we'll be able to see exactly which side are we on. Do we have the tzaddik at the beginning of the word? What are our priorities in life? How are we learning? Is the learning just a casual intellectual pursuit, or is it something that we imbibe and take into our bloodstream, take into our DNA, take into our genetic makeup? Does it change how we behave and how we speak and who we are? That is ultimately the test of what Chanukah is all about. And we'll see, therefore, that if you put the Shemen in the menorah, even though the Shemen comes from the Zayis, which is the Greek symbol, but if you channel that Shemen, that beauty, that pursuit of Chochmah, if you put it in that menorah, stolen or otherwise, menorah gezula, then you have the beautiful relationship harmonized once again, where the Shemen can coexist with the menorah, and that can create true oil. In Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a lichter, a Chanukah. Thanks for having me.